This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back. Okay, so talking about brokers, the Straits Times Index, which is Singapore's key benchmark, has been an outperformer this year with a year-to-date return of more than 11%. Among major Asian markets, only Taiwan and Korea have done better.
This is a reversal of fortunes after a rather dismal 2020, as investors see the Singapore market as a proxy to vaccine optimism and economic recovery in the region. But is this really sustainable as Singapore battles another wave of COVID infections?
So to answer that question, we've got on the line with us Jeff Howie, the market strategist for the Singapore Exchange. Jeff, good morning. Now, the STI, as we were discussing, has been one of the best performers. But with a recent rise in cases and lockdowns, will that be a derailer in this instance?
Well, I think the economic impact of these heightened measures that we're seeing in Singapore, they were a key reason for the $800 million Singapore dollars of targeted fiscal support, which assists the retailers, among the other shop fronts, to basically get through until the potential end of this phase on Sunday. But more broadly, globally, equities themselves, they are quite sensitive to the race to contain COVID-19. And we are all in this race to reach this new multilateral norm per se, but as expected, the pace of the vaccine rollout, it did take the spotlight in May, and it did actually support stocks in the second half of May. If you look at the month of May, you had 800 million vaccine doses administered globally, and that was up 50% from the 540 million global vaccine doses that were administered in April. And the 2 days that have seen the most global vaccine doses administered, setting records, are quite recent, 25th of May and the 1st of June. But at the same time, too, you've got the 7-day rolling average of daily global new confirmed cases declining now to below 250,000 cases. And that's down considerably from the 800,000 cases at the end of April. So, we saw a pickup in Malaysia. That was clearly a concern. I think we reached over 9,000 confirmed cases on the day of the 29th of May. But that has also come back to, I think, near 5,000 cases on the 7th of June. So these are among the key statistics that are being watched by markets to determine whether the economic recovery does remain on track.
So global view, higher vaccination rates, lower cases. So moving forward, will cyclical stocks, especially the banks, which were an outperforming sector, continue to do well for the second half of the year?
Yeah, look, we've got DBS, OCBC and UOB here, but they've largely moved in line with the top quartile of global bank stocks over the past 12 months. And those top global bank stocks, they have extended their 15% gains in the first quarter of this year by another 5.5% gain in the second quarter to date. And that is basically on this global resilient business investment. And of course, 10-year yields remaining stable, oscillating around 1.6% most of the time, albeit touching a three-month low last night to 1.5%. But just to relay that point, DBS, OCBC and UOB, just like the global leaders, they've also extended a 15% average first quarter gain by another 5.5% in the second quarter to date. The investment world, as we said, has been resilient, but the trio are also pursuing this digitalization, broadening wealth management services, continuing to focus on the supply chains and growth markets. And for that reason, they've been recipient to more than $2 billion Sing dollars of combined net insti and net prop inflows in the year to date. I think with 3 weeks of the second quarter remaining, the STI, really this quarter, it has consolidated on those strong moves that we saw in the first quarter of last year. And stocks, I guess, that have seen the most net insti or the most net prop inflows so far this quarter, they were the banks. They were industrial and manufacturing related stocks, not the rubber glove and the personal protection equipment rubber glove stocks we saw last year with those exponential moves. It was more the industrial and tech and the consumer related. And I guess over the 9 weeks, we've also seen stocks that have been sold down comparatively more this year compared to where they were last year also attract some higher net retail inflows, suggesting that buying on the dips, such as the transport, the airport services, and some of the resilient manufacturers of last year that haven't kept up, obviously, with those gains last year have seen some net retail buying. So I guess in terms of this cyclicality point you're mentioning, flows have been measured somewhat. UMS Holdings, Nanofilm Tech, they both gained so far this quarter, and they both saw net insti and net prop inflows. AEM Holdings and Venture Corp, they haven't gained this quarter. They've generated declines, but they've attracted the net retail inflow.
But Jeff, the million-dollar question, what teams do you see emerging for the rest of the year that perhaps will gain traction?
Yeah, good question. I think that the drive to review for companies to that drive that we're seeing over the past 12 months to review their operations, to pursue restructures, make the acquisitions, divest if need be, or just to simply diversify or transform product lines and services. It is giving investors a new microeconomic lens to take to the stocks. But I guess on the macro front, I think the sequential economic and earnings recoveries versus any potential for early peaking this year will be watched, as well as we're going to look at what really is going to drive inflation going forward. Will it be beyond those transitory impacts of national stockpiling? Regional trade also is really super important for our region. It's been a clear theme over recent years, and that's been with this regional supply chain restructuring, very much influenced by the rise of the Asian consumer, our resilient manufacturing and our resilient trade growth.
Yeah, Jeff, say an investor were to turn conservative, what are the top dividend stocks to consider, and can you actually time the purchase of these counters?
Well, some investors, they will always want to be conservative. That will never change. And I think we have seen their participation in the market. It has been reflected in the combined assets under management of our passive exchange traded funds growing, I think, some 70% over the 12 months ending in May. During that time, the AUM growth, asset under management growth in the fixed income indices saw the greatest growth. And I think four of the eight ETFs that are among those fixed income, four of those eight fixed income ETFs have also been among the top 10 highest yielding ETFs by dividend yield, with an average yield of 4%. So there's that market that has attracted those conservative investors. But for timing per se, I think investors themselves have become a little bit more conservative recently by dollar cost averaging their participation in these products. That is, committing a fixed dollar amount at a regular interval, such as every month or every quarter, thereby mitigating the timing risk that can be obviously associated with the more prevalent lump sum investing.
So very quickly, last question, has the money been made, the easy money been made?
Well, look, markets are now at a juncture where there are clearly more market drivers, and one needs to keep an eye on it, from economic recoveries, from the moderation in the pace of the Fed Reserve balance sheet growth, sequential earnings recoveries, and of course, inflation, to name a few. So it just means investors will need to do more homework, as do businesses, if they want to successfully navigate through the coming quarters. But while the interest rates, I should mention, they do still remain low, and that can serve as a motivation for us to all do a little bit more homework with some of these emerging stronger or a little bit more tougher to grapple themes that are on our horizon.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for your time. That was Jeff Howie, the market strategist for the Singapore Exchange. Now, of course, it does seem as if Singapore would be the bigger beneficiary in the region from the rest of the world recovering from the lockdowns, because, of course, Singapore is one of the most open economies in the world.
Yeah, and most of its companies actually have a regional presence. So it's an easy way to buy the Asian recovery story.
Okay, 9:29, we'll come back after this with the news. And beyond that, Ed Butler of the BBC talks about the looming ransomware business. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.